Good morning. Enjoy praising God with you all. Thank you for lifting your voices to God and praising Him. It's a joy to be with you on my 34th anniversary. Amen. My woman knows that I put Christ beyond all things, and we got past that before we ever got married. And so she is perfectly content because I try to treat every day like it's an anniversary. Amen. Amen, men. Especially for these young guys so y'all can start learning. I cook. I clean. I vacuum. I pedicure. Didn't even get an amen. See, look at all y'all. No man said amen. Thanks, man. Thanks a lot. Leave me hanging. But yes, I mean, I save money. You don't have to go to them spas to get that done. Amen. I do my woman's feet. I do my 3 daughters' feet, and I have to get a chainsaw to do my son's size 16s. He's got some bunions that I have to get a chainsaw for. But if Jesus did his disciples' feet in John chapter 13, I don't want anybody leaving my house, my 4 children, unless I had done their feet for 4 or 5 years. It's the ultimate act of service that I could give my family in order to show them Jesus. Because it comes not in words only, it also comes with action. So thank you so much for seeing, being with the church here. Thank you, my brother. Good to see you and your family again. And I enjoyed kissing them boys of yours. I don't know what it is about the little guys. They ain't too happy with the chocolate. You didn't even say amen. So yeah, you're going to make me get you again.
Amen.
Amen. Now you're talking. I'm starting to like you already. There's a young man that I baptized back in 1981 named Joseph Michael DiGiorgio. About 3 o'clock in the morning, he was All-American football player at the University of Wyoming. He was an Italian. And at 260 pounds, I couldn't stop him from kissing me. He thought I was Italian chocolate. He passed away at 32 years old with Hodgkin's. And so my honor to him is every time I meet a man is to hug him and kiss him. Because if Joseph Michael DiGiorgio was here, if you were a man, he would hug you and he would kiss you. He is the one who got me going that direction. I was quite moved by his love for the Lord and his ability to take a total stranger in his arms and show that kind of godly love. And so my desire is not to offend any of you men in any way, but just to show you that I love you. I know not whence we shall meet again after this trip. On this side, I know we will meet on the other side, but hopefully you will take a little bit more of the love of God and share it with someone else that you come in contact with. In class, we talked about the mystery, the mysterion, the hidden sacred secret. For a short period, now I'd like to talk to you about the gospel of Christ. That's what I was taught back 42 years ago when I became a Christian, April 26, about 1:30 in the afternoon, 1983. Or 1973, was married in 83, got that anniversary on my mind. But what a joy it was for me, because I didn't think it was possible for me to know the truth, and I didn't think it was possible that God would want someone like me in his kingdom. Growing up in the times that I did, came from a broken home, 8 sisters, 2 brothers, and in the 50s and the 40s, and 60s, some of y'all know some of the racial tension that was going on. And so we all came out of that with some type of damage, with some type of scars. And so you start feeling that you're unworthy. That's only normal for us as sinners, for the kingdom of God. And so I was not a fan of any church. We had gone as kids, but when I turned 13, my mother told us we didn't have to darken the door of any church building again. And so for the next 10 to 15 years, I didn't darken a door of any religious building. I believed in a God, just didn't know what to believe. I didn't want to be confused. And so I spent my time trying to find answers to questions, as so many people do. Why? Why can't we get along? I'm all made by the same God. Why is there so much racial tension? Why does people have to divorce? Why is it drugs? Why do my parents have to be alcoholics? Just the whys of life that so many ask. And so many are searching for answers, but they're not going to come to church buildings to get those answers. I was asking people, people that I played sports with, people that I knew had some religious background, and they couldn't give me any answers. It blew me away about how many people claimed to be followers of Christ and how so few knew their Bible. Regardless of how fast I could run or how high I could jump, if I didn't learn those plays by memory, I wouldn't get to play. So when I became a Christian, my attitude was, God wanted me to put these words on my heart so that in dire situations, threatening situations, I wouldn't have to panic because I already knew what God's word told me to do. Do not be afraid, only believe. On many occasions, Jesus told the 12. And so I was fortunate enough, the minister, one of the ministers there, Delmo Owens, and Ron Fletcher, who had played quarterback at Oklahoma under Bud Wilkinson with Lance Renshall, I did not know that he was a minister. I just knew he was one of the coaches. And after my years of playing at Oklahoma were over, he had come to me and asked if he could talk to me about Christianity. And my reply was, I'll talk to anybody about Jesus, but I got questions. And before you start giving me some religious spiel, answer my questions with the Bible first so I can know that you're a Bible teaching person. And of course, I had all kind of racial questions. Amen. And you get to see if you're for real. I had questions about healings. Every time you turn the TV on, somebody's been healed of cancer and thyroid and back, something you can't see. And so I had questions about so-called healings. I had questions about the rich and the poor, the pretty and the ugly. Amen. Amen. I threw that in there, the ugly. Young people have questions, church. And I'm just so thankful that God sent some men that knew their Bible. They didn't tell me what they thought. They showed me what Jesus said. And that made all the difference. With being able to flip through these pages and find the answers to the questions that I had. I knew I wasn't a Christian. But I wasn't going to tell them, these white guys, I wasn't no Christian. That wasn't their business. And I'd already went through 3 years of religious people coming to the football dorm as these Campus Crusade and Fellowship Christian Athlete. They all come through the dorms. You need Jesus. And of course, my reply was, you don't know me, man. How do you know what I need? Tell me something about myself if you know so much. Well, you know, all the drinking you do, I don't drink. Never have, never will. Parents were alcoholics. Well, you know, all the drugs, never done drugs. Don't even take aspirin. My mother whipped me from the head down. I don't get headaches. Well, you know, going to all these clubs. I don't do parties. I don't dance. The only time I ever do any break dancing is when my mom was whipping me. Because I got moves I didn't know I had. Amen. Invariably, all of these religious people would back down. Because they kept trying to condemn me with my lifestyle. Now, I'm a country boy. You give me a fishing pole and a dog, now I'm happy the rest of the day. Because I hunt and fished all my life, being raised in Louisiana. I wasn't a fan of parties and towns or drinking, none of that. That's not how I roll. These people would always flop and tell me that I was a Christian because they couldn't use my life to condemn me. And of course, I got all the time. You a black guy? You don't drink? You don't chase women? You don't have a girlfriend? No, but I got a dog. You got a dog? You need to get one. Because girlfriends will kick you to the curb. Yeah. Now the dog is going to stay loyal. Amen. And it was just quite moving to me to begin asking questions. And these men could flip through the Bible. And that was my answer. Ron said, you can't ask a question. The Lord hadn't already answered 2,000 years ago. That just blew me away. He knew what I was going to ask 2,000 years ago. Yeah, he made you. Well, yeah, I guess that's right. But wow, that's crazy. He knew what I was going, yes. Read Genesis 1. In the image of him created he them both male and female. Wow. So I just, for the next 2 weeks, just threw out every question I could think of, and it was just amazing to me that these men just flipped through the page, and there was the answer right on the page. That kind of rocked my world. So inevitably, it came to the point where they said, you a Christian? I said, yeah, I'm a Christian. They said, well, what did you do to become a Christian? Well, I said everything that I saw on TV. Well, I asked Jesus in my heart. I repented of my sins, confessed him as my Savior. I had some religious experience, a vision. Anything I had heard, I threw it out there. And oh, yeah, I was baptized. That should cover everything. He said, now show me a verse that says everything you just said. Oops. I couldn't find Genesis in the Bible. I didn't know it meant beginnings. Well, that's the first time somebody called me on that. He said, well, turn to Mark 16. Turn to Mark 16. Verse 15 say, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He said, did you know that's the first thing a person is supposed to hear? Is the gospel. Didn't know that. He said, if you saved, you would have known that. Oops. He's kind of getting serious. He's getting direct. If I was saved, I would know that. Man, this little guy, he's a little short guy, a little midget. He wasn't taller than Tom Cruise. He marries women taller than he is and can't stay married. That's a mission impossible for him. Yeah, but I said, man, you hadn't read the whole Bible. You can't say that I'm not a Christian. He said, well, yes, I have read the whole Bible. First time I'd have met anybody that read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. He said, I've done it about 25, 30 times since I was 15 years old. Well, that just kind of made me back up. He said, if you say, you should know the gospel because that's what you were supposed to be taught. So he starts showing me some scripture. He said, turn to Romans 1:16. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also the Greek. That is written, the just shall live by faith. Romans 1:16 and 17. He said, God's power operates through the gospel. That's what the verse says. I read it again. Yeah, that's what it says. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 17. Paul said, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. That's the first time I've seen that word that much. I didn't know it was in there that many times. Did you know the word gospel is mentioned 101 times in the New Testament? 59 times it stands by itself alone. The gospel. Go preach the gospel to every creature. 59 times. 15 times it's called the gospel of Christ. 11 times it's called the gospel of God. 4 times it's called the gospel of the kingdom. 101 times. I didn't know that. He said, that's the first thing a person is supposed to be taught. He said, you know what the gospel is? Yeah, I know what the gospel is. Yeah. He said, what is it? Well, God, religion, and church, and Jesus. And he said, let me know when you're through guessing. How did he know? It's amazing when you talk to somebody that knows the gospel. How little I knew about the gospel. Well, yes, sir, I was guessing. He said, well, you can't think of a Bible verse that says everything that you just said. No, sir. He said, well, you want to learn the gospel? Yes, sir, I would like to learn the gospel. So he said, turn to 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. Did I hear any pages turning? 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. There we go. Somebody give my old brother a Bible. There we go. Thank you. I want you to see this since I love you. Not in the pocket. It melt in there. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. I've grown to admire a lot of these workers in the New Testament, Paul being one of them, because he goes into detail about what he taught, which teaches me how to teach. He said in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, I made known unto you, brethren, the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you received, by which also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold firmly to the words I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you of first most importance how that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, that he was buried, and that on the third day he was raised according to the scripture. And of course he goes on to talk about that he appeared to the 11, then to above 500 brothers. And last of all, as a child in time to born, he appeared unto me. He said, did you catch what Paul just said? The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. That's the heart of it right there. I didn't know that. I said, I've heard people talk about Jesus dying for my sins. He said, yep. He died on the cross for our sins. In our stead. So we no longer have to die. We had the sentence of death because we had sinned. Romans 3:23, amen? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So the sentence for us was eternal damnation. But because God gave his only son, as was said in the prayer, his only begotten son, John 3:16, that word begotten means he's the only one of his kind. So that's why it says the only begotten son, the only one of his kind. God didn't have two. He didn't go to the benevolent room to get us a savior. Hello? Y'all catch my drift? Why give clothes to people that I don't want? Amen? Amen. Thank you. Exactly. God gave us his best, not his leftovers. Y'all catch me, church? If we're going to make an impact on the world, it's when we give people our best, not when we give them the leftovers. The things nobody else wants. People out there feel bad enough being poor and in the world, and then we want to give them things that we don't want. My God didn't operate that way. He gave us the gift among all gifts. 2 Corinthians 9, that's his only begotten son. And so he began to explain the cross to me. The death of Christ. Out of Romans, Paul goes into some detail, Romans chapter 5, because of Jesus' death, we're free from wrath. Romans 6, free from sin. Romans 7, free from the law. Romans 8, free from death. We've been freed through the blood of Jesus, Revelation 1, verse 5. Ephesians 1 and verse 7, we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of our trespasses. I no longer have that sentence of death. Of eternal separation from God, eternal punishment because of what Christ has done, I have an opportunity to be forgiven. And we'll talk about some of that tonight with the young people. Why so many were astonished. And then we begin to talk about the burial. Why doesn't it just say death and resurrection? Why does it say death, burial, and resurrection? Hadn't thought about that. Turn to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, verse 19 through 31. Luke chapter 16, verse 19 through 31. I ask a lot of people today, I say, when Jesus died, where did he go? You know what they say? Heaven. Now, he can't die and go to heaven. Then heaven would be called a cemetery, a graveyard. Can't die and go to heaven. In fact, Jesus said in John 3 and verse 13, no one has gone into heaven but the one that came out of heaven, even the Son of Man. So you can't die and go to heaven. Because if you did, you'd bypass two things. Number one, you'd bypass the resurrection. And number two, you'd bypass your spiritual body. That's impossible. Even Jesus didn't do that. And he was perfect. Amen? Y'all with me? All right. So where do people go when they die? Well, Mariah Carey, she lied. Y'all know Mariah Carey? Oh, yeah. She said, I know you're smiling down on me from heaven like so many friends we've lost along the way. Mariah don't know nothing. Amen. How can part of the bride be in heaven and part of the bride be on the earth? Does that sound like a bride? She'd be divided pretty much. Here in Luke 16, verse 19 through 31, this is the only place in the entire Bible Jesus is speaking where he tells us what happens to the soul. He told the thief on the cross, today you shall be with me in paradise. He didn't say heaven. He did tell Mary, stop clinging to me after he was resurrected, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. So he hadn't gone to heaven. But here in Luke 16, he wants to take some fear away from saints. No longer should we be afraid of death because he wants us to know where the soul goes. Ecclesiastes 12 says that the flesh returns back to the dirt from whence it came and the spirit returns to God. So I know what happens to the flesh. I know what happens to the spirit. Jesus said from the cross, Father, in your hands I commit my spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5, man is made up of three parts, body, soul, and spirit. Body goes back to the dirt, Ecclesiastes 12. Spirit goes back to God. What about the soul? Man was afraid because he never knew where the soul went. And so that's why people fear death. They don't know what's on the other side. Well, Jesus gives us some insight as to what's on the other side. Verse 19. There was a certain rich man that King James says fared sumptuously every day. For some of y'all don't know King James, that means he ate good daily. Amen. And he dressed in fine linen and purple daily. And there's a beggar that laid at his gate named Lazarus, full of sores, tells us his condition. Didn't have a lot of friends. Begged for the crumbs from the rich man's table. Yea, even the dogs came and licked his sores. Maybe that's where us old country boys get, letting the dog lick a sore and they get well. He was begging for the crumbs that fell from the man's table. The problem was, the crumbs wasn't from the loaf the man ate. In those days, there were no napkins. There was no silverware. People ate with their hands like I did when I was raised in Louisiana back in the day. And so the leftover dough was baked, and that's what people in those times did to clean their hands. Lazarus was begging for the crumbs that came from the loaf with which the man washed his hands with. Does that tell us about Lazarus' attitude? He was humble. The rich man was a Scrooge. As wealthy as he was, he wouldn't even give Lazarus the crumbs that came off the loaf from which the man washed his hands. We get some insight into the rich man's attitude. And it came to pass that Lazarus died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man died and King James will say hell. The actual word is Hades. It means the realm of the unseen, realm of departed souls. In Hades, he lifted up his eyes, seeing Lazarus afar off in Abraham's bosom. The rich man said, Father Abraham. What race was the rich man? Father Abraham, Jewish. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm in anguish in this flame. Abraham said, son, remember in your lifetime, you had it good and Lazarus had it bad. And now here, he is comforted and you are tormented. Roles had changed. In life, Lazarus was suffering. The rich man was comforted. Now, Lazarus is comforted and the rich man is suffering. He says, besides this, there's a great chasm a gulf that is fixed between us so that no one can cross over from us to you or from you to us. Destiny is sealed when you die. If you die a goat, you're going to be raised a goat. Contrary to what the world tries to say. He says, then I pray, Father Abraham, that you send him to my father's house because I've got how many? Five brothers. Lest they also come to this place of torment. Didn't he know his brothers were lost before he died? Why didn't he try to do something then? He learned a valuable lesson. You can't do evangelism from hell. He knew they wasn't living right, and yet he said nothing. And people have their reasons. Well, I don't want to lose their friendship. Well, I still want to have a relationship with them. Well, there's no relationship now, and regardless of how much you dislike anybody, he didn't even want his five brothers where he was. Abraham said they have Moses and the prophets. That gives us a time frame of when this conversation took place in the spirit world. He said, no, Father Abraham, if one will go to them from the dead, they will believe. He said, if they will not believe Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if one is arisen from the dead. Here Jesus gives us a glimpse as to why the burial. Death, burial. You see, men put emphasis on the tomb. The Bible puts emphasis on Hades. Jesus arose out of the Hadean world. Colossians 1:18 calls him the firstborn from the dead. Jesus is the first person ever to come out of Hades, never to return. And that's where Genesis 3:15 is fulfilled. Well, God had promised, I will put enmity between you and my seed. You will bruise his heel, the cross. He will bruise your head, the resurrection from Hades. And that's why Satan received the blow to the head. Because now we know if Jesus came out of Hades, we know we coming out. Amen. You talk about victorious. You talk about bold. Hello. Amen. We have nothing to be afraid of. Death, burial, and resurrection. I know where the soul is going. The soul goes to paradise for the saints. That's what he told the thief. So in Hades, there's a compartment called paradise. And there's a place called torment. And when those who are of an accountable age, babies don't go here. Those who've known sin will go one or the other. Everyone that's ever lived, from Adam till now, except Jesus, is in Hades. That lived to an accountable age. Now, do you understand the value of understanding that death, burial, and resurrection? Christ wanted us to know what happens on the other side. That's why this message, this gospel is so valuable. 2 Thessalonians 2:14, Paul says, wherefore God called you through our gospel to the obtaining of your salvation. That's why this message is so valuable. That's why this message is victorious. It tells us the answers to the questions mankind has had for thousands of years. We have it here in this New Testament. Wow. I mean, it makes you want to change your whole life. Well, sorry. It made me want to change my whole life. I never thought I could learn this stuff. I never thought there was answers to what happens to the soul. When you die, here's the answers. And the heart of it is about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. You see, Christ never asked anything of us that he hadn't already done. Hello? Amen? He lived in the flesh and was sinless. He died. And went into Hades. And he has given us the answers so we need not be afraid. A few years ago, some of y'all might remember. Some of you gray hairs might remember. Remember Alan Bryan. Alan Bryan used to go around in the 70s at the workshops. Passing around chicken buckets when he was raising support for mission work. I was told that Brother Alan Bryan went to the store one evening and came out and a kid stuck a gun in his back. Said, old man, your money or your life? He turned around and looked at him and said, you can't scare me with heaven. You can't scare me with heaven. You can't scare me with heaven. And the guy ran off. Brother Alan Bryan found the answer in the gospel. Church, we need not be afraid of the world. People talking about being all this politically correct. A lot of politically correct people going to lose their soul if we don't get the gospel to them. They don't want to hear the gospel because it's going to convict them with their lifestyles. Well, I want to love on them first before I do any of that. Amen. I got a couple of neighbors that are men, and one of them thinks he's a woman. Amen. We have block parties. We like to make sure we know who's in the neighborhood, if anybody thugging and stealing. Well, I kissed all my neighbors, and they showed up, so my neighbors wanted to know if I'm going to kiss them. Amen. Is God partial? Acts 10:34 says, my God is not partial. He has no respect of persons. Literal reading, he does not see man's face. So I went over and picked him up. After they left, the guys looked at me. They said, ain't you afraid they're going to think you one of them? I said, son, they know the difference between a he-man kiss and a she-man kiss. Amen? If not, I think I could teach them. Hello? Amen? Amen. But I know this. They know I love them. That's the first thing we got to get across. There's a little girl. Her name is Jessica. She lives on the block. Daddies don't go outside and play with their kids no more. I had no dad to do that. So in the 60s, some other dad took some time with me. So all the kids on the block know when they want to play, they knock on my door. Hi, Miss Franklin. Can your husband come out and play? She said, honey, it's for you. I said, what's up, Jessica? And of course, you know how the little ones are. Uncle Chocolate, I'm in the third grade, and I outran all the third grade boys, all the fourth grade boys, all the fifth grade boys, all the sixth grade boys. I'm the fastest thing on this block. I said, that's why you my niece, girl, because you feel the need for speed. Runs in the family. She said, I think I can outrun you. I said, whoa now. I said, this ain't no donkey. This is a thoroughbred. And all the boys are like, come on, Uncle Chocolate, come on. She outran us. We want her to outrun you. All-American athlete, college, track and field, football, wrestling. 65 years old, I got to prove I can outrun an 8-year-old. Yeah, come on. What was that? Let's talk about something else. Can't believe people are like, well, did she outrun you? Come on. I ain't that old. Little Jesse. We've got in quite a few Bible discussions. Couldn't reach her in time. Her parents just divorced. Both of them are policemen. And now they go through the pain I went through back in 1959 when my parents broke up. Breaks your heart when you can't get the gospel to people. Couldn't get the daddies. 13 years. Can't get the daddies to come outside and play with the kids. And so I want every kid in my block to know you can knock on my door at any time. And I'm going to drop what I'm doing and I'm going to go out and play. Because Jesus, Matthew 1:23, was Emmanuel with us. John 1:14, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus came down to our level, church. He came and lived among us. What a God we serve. Amen. What a God we serve. He took on himself flesh, gave up deity, gave up power, gave up position, and came down and became a man and lived among us. What a Savior we have, because he wanted to identify with us. You can't say, well, Jesus, you don't know what it's like. You can't say that. He does. He was tempted in all points just like we, yet without sin. Though he knew no sin, he became sin for us. What a Savior we have. What a message this is, this gospel. It makes so much sense. Peter said in Acts chapter 2, 22 and following, men of Israel, let this be known unto you, this man Jesus that lived among you and did all these mighty works among you. As Peter began to preach that lesson there in Acts 2, 22 and following, he went back to the gospel. Thou will not leave my soul in the Hades, nor would you allow your Holy One to undergo decay. He went back to Hades. He was preaching to the folks in Acts 2 that Jesus arose out of the Hadean world. God wants us to know so we can be confident and unafraid that we will rise again, church. Amen. Amen. We will rise eternal, no longer to have this mortal flesh on. Those things are going to pass away. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 and following. We shall be caught up in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air, and there shall ever be with the Lord. That he wants us to know there's a life after this. That's why the gospel is so important. That's why it's so powerful. We've got to get it to people because it will move their hearts to do something about their lifestyle. When they learn about one who was perfect, who died, who was buried, and who was raised. I was studying with a young lady in Papua New Guinea. She was with the Peace Corps from Canada. My wife had met her at the grocery store, and she came by the house. And she walked in, and my wife introduced me to her. She said, "What's the Church of Christ have to say about miracles?" I said, "I don't know, because I ain't been to all of them." I said, "But I can tell you what Jesus said about it." Amen. So we sat down and began to study about miracle ceasing, 1 Corinthians 13, where Paul said, "Love believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Whether it be tongues, they shall cease. Whether it be knowledge, shall it be done away. Shall it be prophets, shall be done away." Verse 10, "When that which is perfect has come, that which is apart shall be done away." She said, "I thought that was Jesus." I said, "No, ma'am. The word that is neuter. It's a thing. If it was Jesus, it would have been masculine. It would have said he." I said, "And when was Jesus ever in parts?" "When that which is perfect has come, that which is in part." "What was that which was in part?" "This New Testament. God's revelation, it came in parts, didn't come all 27 books at once." I said, "You saved?" She said, "Yeah, I'm saved. I want you to do to be saved." She went through a list of things. I wrote them down. I said, "So since you're saved, can you tell me what the gospel is?" Guess what? Didn't have a clue. I don't argue with people and tell them they're saved, they're lost. No, I just, if you're saved, tell me what you did to be saved. Can you tell me what the gospel is? Because Jesus said, "Go preach the gospel to every creature." Anyway, we got to study, and she said, "You're starting to scare me reading these verses about the gospel. I've never seen that word." I said, "Well, sister, I didn't write that." In those days I was younger, I used to say, "Do I look 2,000 years old?" I don't say that no more because now people say yes. She said, "I'm going to call my preacher." I said, "Would you please do that?" She called the preacher, and she called me back the next day. She said, "Oh, you had me worried. I don't have to be baptized to be a Christian." I said, "What scriptures did your preacher give you?" She said, "He didn't." I said, "That's my point. Jesus said, you did, John 3:3-5. Unless a man is born again, they cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 4. The woman at the well said, Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he is old? Must he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus said in verse 5, unless a man be born of water and the Spirit, they cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Quite plainly. Well, she hung up and was never to be seen again. But an interesting thing happened. Her preacher showed up. Amen. And we got to studying. And what a study it was. He learned about the gospel. I asked him if he knew. He didn't know what the gospel was. Isn't it crazy? We live in a nation anymore. People don't even know what the gospel is anymore. The word's used a lot. Gospel quartet. Gospel websites. But you never come across death, burial, and resurrection. And so we got into some deep Bible discussions. And he and his wife were convicted. And it was left to them to make that decision about obeying the gospel of Christ. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 7 and following, Paul said, "You who are afflicted, rest with us at the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall appear from heaven with his angels in flaming fire. And he's going to take vengeance on all those, the first group that know not God. The second group, all those who obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall suffer everlasting destruction from the face of the Lord and from the glory of his might." It talks about obeying the gospel. The world does not understand that. When I asked him what that meant, he didn't have a clue. You see, church, we've got to go teach people the gospel because they don't know. Yes, they know portions of truth. The guy that taught me, you might want to write this down because it's been 42 years, it's proven true to me. He said, Willie, when you go out and talk to people, there are four things that you need to get in your mind. There are things that are called truths of the gospel. God is, always has been, always will be. Those are truths of the gospel if you read your Bible. God always is, always has been, always will be. There are facts of the gospel. Facts of the gospel, death, burial, and resurrection. There are commands of the gospel. Believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. There are promises of the gospel. He said the denominational world, people out there in the world, they will always talk about truths of the gospel and they will talk about promises. They know nothing about the facts or the commands. They've thrown them out. In my 42 years of being a Christian, it is proven true. A lot of people know about truths of the gospel. They don't know the facts. They talk a lot about the promises of the gospel. They don't deal with the commands. We've got to go out and teach the world, as Paul said, I shun not to declare unto you, brethren, the whole counsel of God. The whole gospel truth. I believe he said in Ephesians chapter 6, put on the whole armor of God. 6:10 through 17. There are those who just want some of the armor. Anyway, I had read in Romans chapter 6, where Paul says in verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. For we who died to sin, how shall we live in it any longer? Do you not know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus was baptized into his death? So I always draw a picture of water and I write D-E-A-T-H in there. And I ask the person, read verse 3 again of Romans 6. Do you not know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus was baptized into his death? I said, in this picture I've drawn, do we contact his death in the water or out of the water? He said, well, in the picture you've drawn, it's in the water. Well, read verse 3 again. I want to make sure they see it. Well, where is it? He said, it's in the water. Look at verse 4. We have been buried, therefore, with him through baptism into death. So I write buried in the water. What do we conduct as burial? Well, in the picture you've drawn us in the water. Okay, read the last part of verse 4. And we've been raised to walk in newness of life. And I write raised. I said, look at that picture. Tell me what the gospel is. He said, oh, there it is. Death, buried, and raised. Look at Romans 6:5, which says, if we have been united with him in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. It has never failed for people to say, I've never seen that. Been there 2,000 years. We've got to get back to teaching people the gospel of Christ so they understand why. See, if people are arguing baptism today, it's because they have no faith. I don't argue baptism. When people want to argue baptism, I argue faith. Because when you get faith right, the other's not going to be a problem. Amen? It's not going to be a problem when your faith is right, because you will have been taught the gospel. And you understand it's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and you go in that watery grave in order to die with him, be buried with him, be raised with him, be united with Christ. And so I discuss with people that thing called faith. Pistuo, which means joyful trust conjoined with obedience. We sing a song, trust and obey. That's exactly what that word means. Pistuo. Joyful trust conjoined with obedience. There are too many people who claim to have faith, but they have no joyful trust and no obedience to God. This message is valuable, church. Nothing else will save. Nothing else can redeem individuals. And that's why this message surrounds Christ. He brought this message to us, and he came and lived it before us. What a Savior to leave heaven. And this message was entrusted to nobody but Jesus, as we saw in Revelation 5. That Lamb of Judah, that Lion of Judah. God entrusted it to his son. His son came and entrusted it to 12 apostles. And they taught the church. Hand delivered by God's own son. What a message. What a Savior. Have you ever stopped to wonder what this life is all about? Why are you here and where are you going when your lease on time runs out? Well, maybe you've been a bit too busy trying to reach your goal. Can I ask you one question? Have you thought about your soul? Well, don't forget, though you may be riding high, like all of us poor mortals, one day you too will up and die. Your wealth, your fame, your fortune won't be worth the rust or the mold. That's why I take time to ask people, have you thought about your soul? Well, if you've never taken the time, take a little time today. For there is nothing of more importance that shall ever come your way than the joy of sins being forgiven and to know that you've been made whole. In the name of Christ Jesus, our Savior, take some time right now and think about your soul. Because God sure does. My prayer is, if you're not a child of God, that you won't procrastinate when it comes to God. I never want to procrastinate when it comes to God. When I quit professional football, my mother was still raising five of my siblings on the welfare. You see, money is not what she needed because she was still drinking and getting drunk. What she needed was Jesus. Amen? So me quitting football, she thought I was loony. A lot of people didn't think I was all here because I wasn't all there. She didn't speak to me for some 10 years. Jesus didn't come to give me material wealth. Amen, church. He came to redeem my soul because that's what I needed. Had to do the same thing with my mother. Was never able to teach her the gospel. 40 years. She wouldn't listen. The first woman I ever loved was my mama. I was a mama's boy. I just knew when I became a Christian that first person I know I can teach is my mama. And that probably hit me the hardest. When I signed with the Rams and went back to California and started trying to talk to my first girlfriend. You know who that is, right? That's mama. First girlfriend. That's the only one that won't kill you and rip your heart out. It broke my heart that I couldn't get my own mama to let me teach you the gospel of Christ. But I know that God loves my mama more than I do. Amen, church. And so I wasn't going to let that interfere with my continuing to take that message to other people. Because God loves us all and desires all of us to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So this morning, if someone's been teaching you the gospel, if they've been studying with you, then you know what you need to do. But if you've been away, if you've strayed away, we're a family that wants you home. Time to come back home. There's nothing like finding brothers and sisters and loving on them and bringing them back home to the family of God. This morning, the message is yours. If there's a need that you have, let it be known while we stand, while we sing.